studying God's Word that we might abound in grace. This is Abounding Grace. Join us. Again, welcome to the broadcast. Abounding Grace is the name of the program. Our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, takes us to God's Word each and every day here on Abounding Grace with a few moments of encouragement and exhortation from God's Word. Make it a point to join us today as we study God's Word that we might show ourselves approved, encouraged in Christ, growing in our walk with Him. Here now, from United Reformed Church of Linden, our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, with this edition of Abounding Grace.
Well, we're very thankful that you've joined us here today at Abounding Grace, another exciting week of opening God's Word and learning what He has to say to us about these marvelous doctrines of grace. Today, we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, and we'll look at that actually throughout this whole week. It's one of those sort of John 3:16 passages to people. It's one of those that continues to comfort Christians all throughout the world when they open up this Bible text and see the wonderful statement of what salvation really is and what it means for the Christian. I want to read it, and we'll launch into this understanding and explaining this text today. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. William Finner once said that the first step to grace is to see that one has no grace, and the first degree of grace is the desire of grace. How we all love that word grace, don't we? A word that means everything to the Christian, and this morning we consider that singular, most popular phrase in the Bible that tells us of grace. It's a passage, of course, that everyone seems to know, probably one of the most familiar and memorized passages in the Bible. It's a verse that every Christian seems to cling to when times of trial come. At funerals, this single passage is held out to comfort the mourning that salvation is entirely in the hand of God. When our faith is tried, when our own hearts condemn us, as the book of 1 John says, and our own sin troubles us to the point that we start to wonder, how could I, as a child of God, act this way? These words sort of shine through all of our despair and trial, but by grace you have been saved. And when we hear those, when those words really penetrate to the heart, all of a sudden the burden is lifted. It's the same truth, the same doctrine of salvation by grace alone in which every single true Christian from the beginning has found their consolation. And today we should come really to this text in such awe that such a truth is too wonderful for us, isn't it? Such a truth should make us come to God's house every single week with joyful, rejoicing hearts. Yet I'm afraid that our lives, the cares of this world, the things that we face, the sufferings of this present evil age, cloud our understanding of the glory that is here revealed. The gospel, of course, at one time found such a home in our hearts when we first came to know and to understand our salvation, when we first were excited about the wonderful news of the gospel. Do you remember that? That God did the unimaginable when you first understood this, that God had actually saved you through Christ's blood from all of your sins. We were so overwhelmed with joy, weren't we? Because we know our own hearts. We know the depths of our hearts and the bottomless abyss of evil that resides there, and yet often our understanding of this and our excitement that once was seems to drift away like a mist over the ocean. Maybe you remember the day when that joyful news came to you, "Son, forgiven are your sins," just like Jesus said to the paralytic so many years ago, and you knew that it was sheer and unconditional grace that had lifted you up. And what did you do? Well, I submit to you that a saved individual who really understands this says, "Lord Jesus, I beg you that I might be with you. You have the words of life. To whom shall we go? Let me follow you." My soul, as the psalmist says, pants for the living God. When shall I come and appear before you, O God? My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you. So I've looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. That's Psalm 42. I mean, how many of these types of hearts are given to us in the Bible? Hearts pouring out in gratitude for their salvation to tell us that this must be the same reality in us. This must occur in us. You see, when grace comes to a lost soul, it does something, doesn't it? It changes one's life. Do you remember when that happened to you? Has it come to you? I think it would be the greatest tragedy ever to come to worship in the Lord's house week after week without these words really taking root in your hearts so that a new life is never brought forth. Why have you come to Jesus? Why do you gather around His holy throne each and every week? How tragic for someone to come and hear the gospel without believing the gospel. But what I see today, my friends, is one of the greatest problems in the church is that the gospel really has been eclipsed. The mist is evaporating right before our eyes. It seems that rarely anyone is preaching this anymore. Instead, we're told more about how to live. We're given moral lessons about how to conduct without the crucial question, the first and most important question, as to whether people understand salvation by grace through faith alone, whether they are justified, whether they have believed in Christ. That is the basis. That is the foundation for your Christianity. Where is the gospel today? The gospel is like that pearl of great price, but it seems that no one is going after it, as Jesus said we all must do. Of course, as Jesus says, someone who knows its value will go after it with all that he has. Why does the gospel, as one pastor said, always seem in the periods of church history to be nailed shut in a coffin? Why does the treasure seem to remain hidden in the field? Why does it appear to us that so very few have left all to go after it? And in such a day of compromise in which we live, complacency, false teachings, moral degeneration, moralism, and all this degeneration of the Sodom in which we live, and then our great adversary Satan is walking around like a roaring lion seeking to confuse and take hearts away to the things of this world, and he's good at it. So good that we, after all these things that we see going on, we cry out, Lord, as the disciples cried so many years ago, Lord, who then can be saved? It seems impossible. We're all a mess. I mean, I look in the news every day and we look at our own hearts and we say, how really can anyone be saved? And then we look at the Christian church today and the kind of message that's being brought forth by Joel Osteen's out there who are giving us a health and wealth message. All of the evidence around us seems that church-going people have little knowledge or understanding of salvation by grace through faith alone. The answer comes back to us just like Elijah, that God has not only reserved 5,000 who have bowed the knee to Baal, but he's reserved a great number today that no one can number. But it seems that we as sinners are constantly in need of going back. Going back to the greatest news ever given to mankind. Going back to think upon the greatest gift that God could have ever given. I'm convinced that this gospel must constantly and daily find a place in our hearts. I think one of the greatest tragedies today is that people have viewed the gospel as something that is really only for the non-Christian. And so we use the gospel, we proclaim Jesus to get people in, so to speak, and then we just pound them with the law on sanctification. But I've become increasingly convinced that the gospel is for the Christian each and every day. He needs to constantly be renewed in the promises of the gospel, the assurance that Christ has given us, because we're constantly stumbling, we're constantly falling, and the gospel is the one thing being renewed in that lifts us up to continue steadfast in the hope of Christ's promises to us. If this is not renewed within us, well, then we will go staggering through this life with little care and little excitement and a lifeless religion. Lifeless. And we need a return, a reformation, if you will, to again realize the greatness of the power given to us that flows from the waters of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if this gospel has no meaning in you, if it has not, if you have not heard the words of the law saying, "Cursed are you," and the gospel having come and pulled you out of the misery of your sin, if that does not take hold of the heart, nothing else will. You can be sure that once the woman at the well drank from that living water that Jesus offered her, she kept on coming back. I can assure you the woman with the flow of blood did not stop touching the garment of Jesus' cloak. She kept coming back for his grace more and more, again and again, and that is the life of the Christian. When the wonderful news came to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven you," every hour he embraced those words. He needed to hear them. And every Christian longs to hear again and again, "Son, forgiven are your sins." You see, my friends, so many so-called Christians are lifeless because they've not continually come back to the waters of grace. They're not being renewed daily with the only balm for their souls, the bread from heaven that gives the strength to go on. We need a return to the gospel. We need a return to understanding its implications, the beautiful proclamation that we are saved by grace through faith alone, and to live that reality every single day as we press forward, knowing that we are justified through Christ's blood. Do you know this gospel today? Have you believed it? Then be assured that in Christ, all of your sins are forgiven. One of our great convictions at the Linden United Reformed Church is that all of Scripture is in some way directed to show us the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's not often what you hear today. Often the Bible is treated as a manual for happy living, with the first question being, "What's in it for me?" A very postmodern and a very humanistic approach to reading the Bible. Here at the Linden United Reformed Church, our conviction is that all of Scripture in some way shows us Jesus Christ, and he should be preached from all of Scripture. Join us this Sunday for worship. 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. are our worship service times. You may also visit us on the web at lindenurc.com. Again, that's www.lindenurc.com. Phone number is 360-318-0429. Thank you for joining us today, and may the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ continue to richly bless you.